The cats and dogs not get mail?
Right. We only see, well, I think in this universe, only humans and mice have this kind of intelligence.
Right, okay. Welcome back to Snow in Southtown. This is season 3, episode 1. My name is Mike. With me is Rusty.
Hi, I'm Rusty.
And it's Christmas time, everybody.
Yay, officially.
For you guys listening, it is Christmas time. For us recording, it's Halloween time.
Whenever you hear this podcast, that's when you know it's
you
Christmas.
Know it's Christmas
if you
time.
Ever want to know the official day that it starts.
Whenever you're starts. Listening to this, right.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that it's here. Whenever they're hearing this, I can't believe it's here. Because, like, I've been waiting. It's not here yet for us. I can't believe it will be, though, when they're hearing this.
I can't believe that it's already here. Because yeah. It was just here, like, 2 months ago, it seems like.
My brother says we are officially insane. So...
Why? Because we're doing three seasons?
Oh, no. Because it says, by the way, you're certified insane. Halloween hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So, and then he says he's watching Pet Sematary. So, and that's
yeah,
my brother
insane,
who doesn't.
It would be insane if we did it on Halloween.
Right. Oh, which, by the way, first of all, snowinsouthtown@gmail.com. You can find us, and snowinsouthtown.com is our website. And we're on Facebook and Twitter. So find us and hang out, and you can hear our podcast everywhere except Spotify. But my daughter claims she's got that syndrome, what is it, where you think you heard Bernstein Bears or whatever, what do you call that?
Right, that's the Mandela effect.
Okay, she swears that we recorded on Halloween last year, and I told her there's no
nope.
way that
no,
we
no,
did
no,
that.
No, 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 no.
And she says she has an email that she sent us about recording on Halloween. I said what probably happened is she probably was up, and we were still recording at midnight, and she sent us an email to say it was Halloween.
Yeah, we may have recorded on the 30th. That sounds right. Yeah.
So, I mean, she's been arguing with me for about 2 days now. And I pulled up the document with our dates on it, and I showed her dates. That doesn't prove anything, but I just don't think we would have.
No, we definitely would not have. And, you know, we go trick-or-treating. We do all this, you know.
Yeah. She was with me, exactly.
Right.
Maybe I was recording, like, live, just walking around. We did a half of a horror episode going to and from the movies one time. So like we recorded the whole way to the movie, like previewing the film. Then we recorded our immediate reactions on the way home. And then like, I guess the next night we did like a review of the film, you know, so something like that. Yeah. So maybe, you know, we could do a live trick or treat, walk around. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, it's Christmas. It's Christmas, guys.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas gift.
Christmas gift. I have some notes. Let me pull it up. So let's see. Christmas zines. We did a Christmas zine this year. There are interviews in there with other podcasters such as Mike from Advent Calendar House, Jerry from Totally Rad, and Scott from Jingle Jank Podcast. We did a poll question. What's the first Christmas album you listened to? And you said what?
It was Jim Reeves for many years. Yeah.
Yeah. And then did you change it or you left it with Jim? No. Yeah. You changed it to what'd you say?
Well... Yeah, now it's nothing in particular, but it tends to be Amy Mann.
Right, yeah, that's what you said.
That's
And I said sort of the same. It used to be Harry Connick for a while, and then now lately it's been that Midnight Syndicate Christmas album. Because they mostly spooky Halloween music.
That's your transition.
Yeah, exactly.
It's your Nightmare Before Christmas album.
It happened. Yeah, it happened this year again. Let's see. November 1st, when we put this podcast out, it is hashtag Christmas Podcast Day. Jerry from Totally Rad is sort of helming this whole effort to get everyone to either release a show on November 1st or promote, you know, an old favorite if they're not putting a show out on that day.
Okay.
There are many, like Advent Calendar House, he just throws out 12 in December, you know, so like November 1st is not a day for him, but you know, so everybody who has a podcast to release, we're shooting for November 1st. So look for hashtag Christmas Podcast Day if you're hearing this on November 1st when we post it.
Awesome.
So, and share it and check that hashtag out and you'll find other podcasts that you like. If you're just jumping in for the Christmas season, if you only come in for Christmas, which I can understand, you might want to go back. You can find a St. Patrick's Day episode, a Leon Day episode, There is a weird episode where I just played an old Halloween tape of this dude telling Halloween stories, and it was really fun.
Everyone's got to hear that one.
And look, I've gotten more positive feedback from strangers about that show than anything else.
Really?
Yeah, like people that I'd never heard of before.
Did anybody remember it?
No. They were just like, that thing is crazy. Thanks for posting that.
It's nuts.
Got more feedback about Old Grey Goose. And also on the blog, I've been posting about a Halloween horror marathon. I've been watching horror movies. I mean, I basically do that every day anyway. But in September and October, I put like a schedule out for myself, and my wife and I kind of stuck to the schedule, and we've been going through this movie. So, yeah, it's not different from real life, really, for me. We talked about this a little bit, but not since the last Christmas ones. We have new artwork from our friend Nick Caesar and our friend Kendall. So there's you'll find our Yule Cat, which we'll talk about in a little bit. You'll find our Krampus picture, which is on the cover of the zine, and it's pretty much our cover photo everywhere. So you've probably seen that one. And then Kendall has a cool picture of us that we'll start sharing as well. And then the only other thing is really that season 3 is going to feature themes every episode. And so it's sort of like we have a theme, and we'll do sort of like a little taste test of some examples of that theme, including one thing that Rusty brought, one thing I brought to the table, and then we had a poll that we threw out to friends, and so the winner of those polls. And so today's theme is Rankin' Bass. And so every show here, you'll have a theme, and today is Rankin' Bass. So
yeah.
Anything you want to throw out there?
Oh, man, we should probably hop into this one because we got like three movies.
Rankin Bass was the theme. We threw it out to our friends. We each picked one, and then we put up a poll question that included some choices that weren't two of the ones we picked. And we've already covered a few of these, right? Because we did. Our friends voted for their top 10, and that included like Rudolph. Was Frosty in that one? I don't remember.
Yeah. It was on the list. Frosty, Year Without Santa Claus, Santa Claus Coming to Town.
I'm talking about the first season of our show.
The ones we've done.
Yeah, so we have not covered Frosty.
Yeah, I don't think we've actually done Frosty.
So that's why Frosty was on this list. And then last year we did cover Stingiest Man in Town.
Yep.
So that might be it, right, of the ones that we've covered.
I guess so.
So we threw out on the list for people to vote for Frosty the Snowman, Year Without a Santa Claus, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Little Drummer Boy, Cricket on the Hearth, and The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So you guys, if you voted, last place was actually Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh, wow.
That's weird.
It's like the most famous one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was rooting for Cricket on the Hearth myself, but it didn't happen.
And it was leading for a while, and it was there the whole time. It came in second.
Yeah.
With 22.5% of the votes, but leading the way with 30% of the votes. Not too surprising, I guess. The Year Without a Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. So Frosty had 17.5%, so sort of in the middle. So today we're going to start with The Year Without a Santa Claus from 1974.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow.
When a weary and discouraged Santa Claus considers skipping his Christmas Eve run one year, Mrs. Claus and his elves set out to change his mind. Yeah, I mean, that's basically it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, okay, let me go to my notes. All right. So, this is the one that we're named after. I mean, it's funny that it takes to season 3.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, oh, here's our song finally. And he says, snow is out there. Yeah.
And the song from this plays at the end of our show. So for me, you know, I guess a cool thing to know about this stuff is like your history with it. So for me, this is not one I grew up with. It's not on that tape that I have with all the old shows.
Yeah.
I probably found this in the late 90s, like when I was in college.
Okay.
What about you?
I know I saw it once or twice as a kid. It's not one that stuck in my memory or anything, though, like Frosty and stuff. And and so eventually I got the DVD of it, probably even after college.
Yeah.
When I just started, like, you know, when they started coming out and collections and stuff. And so I didn't know it that well. I've probably only seen it, I don't know, 5 times.
Oh, so it's not like a classic for you even now.
Yeah, not really.
Okay. I feel like society as a whole has sort of come around as well, like over the last 20 years. Cause I think like, right. I mean, like I think Heat Miser and Snow Miser are part of
the
Christmas culture.
Yeah.
As much as maybe not Rudolph, but say like a Hermie or a Clarice. I mean, I think if you polled anyone in of any age group, right. I think if they know Hermie, they probably know Heat Miser and Snow Miser.
I think if you ask people, what is the year without a Santa Claus? They would be like, I don't know. But if you say, you know, the Heat Miser and Snow Miser, oh, yeah, I do.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Because I mean, that's how
I have to do it. Because I get it confused with like Santa Claus is coming to town.
Sure.
Because, you know, this one, I guess, at least the title kind of says the plot. Santa Claus is coming to town is not.
Right.
That's just.
I think if you walk into like Hot Topic now, you see. Mm. Right. I mean, I don't know the last time I've been on Hot Topic, but I think like they have like Heat Miser and Snow Miser stuff, right? I don't know. I would think
probably.
So one thing, now look, again, we watch it every year. In fact, this was a little different for me because we sort of we will start watching movies, maybe not November 1st, my whole family, but definitely by like November 15th or so, right? Like halfway. And but we have like rules. We're not animals, and so like we have like rules and like we can't put on like Charlie Brown in November, right? Like that, like we save like some classics for later. And I don't know if this is one that like is definitely we consider like a classic that we save for later, but this is definitely the earliest I've watched it. Like we do kind of save it for that last run where we really hit the big Rankin Bass ones. So for us, this is like top five, you know, of Rankin Bass. So
yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's deserving of being one of the classic Christmas movies. It's not just some Hallmark movie or something.
Right. The one thing that like watching it this time, it looks great. Like to me, it looks like it's from 1974. It looks like they sort of perfected what they were going for with Rudolph, right? It's like, hey, this is 10 years later. And it's like, we've nailed it. Like we know how we want this animation to go. We know what the colors need to look like, you know, Santa, like everything's sort of like perfected to me. I don't know. You know,
and then they've got the Santa, you know, Mickey Rooney as Santa too. So even like, who the characters are is more solid now than they were Rudolph and, you know, Eat Papa and all that.
So being that like this is not an every year watch for you, because I know like to me and probably to many listeners it is, like what stood out to you sort of this time?
Well, I mean, the Heat Miser and Snow Miser are the things you remember the most. That stood out for sure. Right. And I was paying more attention to the plot this time, maybe.
Yeah.
Like trying to figure out, because this is one I just always forget the plot. Like, what is it really? Like, I know it's like, it's the classic Christmas came after all story.
Of course.
But like the way it gets to it, to me, you might even have to explain it to me because I don't even know why the two brothers are important at all.
The Jingle and Jangle?
No, the Heat Miser and Snow Miser.
Oh, well.
Like, you could take them out of this movie, and it'd be the same movie, I think.
No, they need a favor, right? Yeah. So they need, I guess it's because Jingle and Jangle get arrested or something, right? And, like, isn't that the favor they need? So, like, we needed to snow in South Town. Okay, so they're going to go.
Are they doing that for the mayor, or are they doing it for Santa's sake?
Oh, no. Well, I'm sorry, because Santa needs to see Christmas cheer, and the thing that will bring Christmas cheer is snow in South Town. Okay, so they have to go to Snow Miser to have him make it snow, right? And he's like,
right,
well, yeah, you know, I can do it, but Heat Miser needs to let me. That's his territory.
Yep.
And so he says, yeah, I'll do it, but I need some territory. I want the North Pole.
Yeah.
So then they go back to him, and he's like, well, what's he want, the North Pole? And then
as a matter of fact.
Yeah, right. So they are kind of a big part of the plot, and that's a big conflict within the story. You know, it's like if these two dumb brothers would have just agreed right away, you could, you know, I don't always love the cranky Santa who needs proof, which we see again.
Yeah, this is the same exact plot as the next movie we're in.
Right.
Yeah.
He needs proof. Yeah.
He's like, they don't love me. Okay.
And take my ball and go home.
That's right. Well, here's the thing, though. The thing that finally got him to do it was the blue Christmas card from the little girl, which could have happened without these two brothers.
Yeah, no, yeah. I do.
In fact, tell me if I got the order wrong, but they make it snow and everything in South Town, right? But he still says, like, well, thanks for the vacation. And he just rolls over, right? Right. It was like, well, I'm going to take it.
Exactly. At one point, he's like, they gave me a vacation. Yeah.
Mrs. Claus is like, shrug. But then he gets the card from the little girl, and he's like, oh, okay, I guess they need me after all.
Yeah, I'm going to get up and go to work.
Yeah, for my one day.
Do my one day at your job.
My one day at your job.
So, yeah. No, I mean, that's it. Yeah, I think you nailed it. The music. So I did a piece on the blog, and it's in the zine, where I went through the music of every... It's funny because I did this over the summer. I went through the music in every Rankin Bass show, right? And then I forgot to talk about it on the Leon Day show.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay because I'm using the zine. And so what I do is, and I'll talk about the music for each of these, and at the end of the show, I'll read you my rankings. But so I gave it, it's the same thing I did for other things, especially like the song pumps, right? Where a 5 is perfect, a 1 is awful, right? A 3 is like, okay, you know, I won't change it. And a 4 is like, I might actually listen to it again. So, and I did this. I ranked every song in the Rankin Bass universe, right? Christmas universe. Yeah. And I mean, this one is like amazing. I had 5s for Snow Miser, Heat Miser, and I Believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I had 4s for the title song, You're Without a Santa Claus, and It's Gonna Snow and Dixie. And then a 3 on I Could Be Santa Claus when Mrs. Carlson. So
it's like, yeah, they're all good.
Yeah, so I had this ranked, you know, and I don't have my full rankings right here. I had this one ranked at number 3.
Yeah.
No, sorry, hold on. You're at 2. This is number 2 for me. So I'll tell you number 1 later. It's probably not that hard to figure out. But this is number 2 for me in the whole Christmas, all the Christmas specials when it comes to music. So that to me, that's what it is. That's what stands out. Yeah. And that's what I'm always going to think of when I think of this special. The plot isn't great, you know, and cranky Santa.
right.
But just, I mean, yeah, just the when the Snow Miser and Heat Miser are singing their songs, and they're the same song, but how they each have their own spin on it, and their little dancers come out, and they're so cool. Imagine being the person who thought of that, right? Like, you have this whole plot, you have Santa, you have reindeer, like, we've done this before, and we know how to do this. This is in our wheelhouse, right? And then somebody's like, yeah, but let me tell you about these characters I came up with, right? It's like, genius.
These guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, and then Mother Nature is
the Mother book. Nature. Yeah. I sent you a thing when Santa has to come up with a fake name. I sent you the Family Guy clip where Peter Griffin comes up with Peter Griffin.
Yeah, because in this
he goes Claus. Klaus. No, it's Klaus. Klaus. Yeah,
Klaus. Klaus. The way he says it too is funny.
It's the most hilarious
part of the movie to me. Klaus.
It's like this strange dude walking around. He looks exactly like every Santa you've ever seen. And he calls himself Klaus. And he's just going to dinner with strange families asking if they like Christmas.
You know what my fake name is when I need like a fake name?
What's that?
Rusty.
No one would ever know. No one ever knows.
Like, oh, you look kind of like Rusty. No, I'm Rusty.
Like, he's not disguised or anything. He is Santa with like a hat, like a top hat instead of his Santa hat. Klaus. Yeah. Let me ask you this: how you feel about? Sorry, how you feel about Santa's gout?
He has the gout?
Yeah, they said something about his gout.
Oh, I missed that.
Well, why is everybody standing around? There's work to be done. Load up the sleigh. Harness the team. Fetch my coat.
But what about your gout?
And the crick in your spine.
And your aches?
They were like, Santa, what about your gout?
Oh, that's okay.
I like that whatever he had was just all in his head anyway. It's just psychosomatic gout.
It's so nasty. I don't want to know about Santa's gout.
Santa's gout.
That's our new
song. That's a good song. Yeah.
Santa's gout.
Here's the thing about this movie is it feels like there's 3 stories here. Or 3 like potentially all 3 good movies, by the way. One is about you have to deal with these the 2 Snow and Heat brothers. One is the kind of the main movie where you got to convince Santa that he's loved or whatever.
Right.
And then the other is one that should have just been called Mrs. Claus, where she takes over for a year. That would have been awesome because she sings that song where she teases like, hey, I could do it. And I was like, when I first saw it as an adult, I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah. You could be, this would be. But then now she's like, ah, forget it.
So I'm sure there's a Hallmark movie about that.
Probably. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the Jenny McCarthy thing? Wasn't she Mrs. Santa?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I never saw it.
But. Yeah. I believe it. I'm going to look.
We'll be doing that one next year.
We really need to do a full Hallmark.
Season 16.
I renewed my Frndly account. So we left our cable through last Christmas, and then we canceled it like in January. So this is gonna be my first holiday season without Christmas. I mean, without cable.
Without Christmas.
Without Christmas. Without cable, there's no Christmas, Rusty. And I did. Yeah. True. So there's that Frndly streaming service, and they have like stupid channels like Hallmark and stuff.
Yeah.
And so for Christmas in July, I got that for $5. And so I just reactivated it for the next couple months.
Yeah.
So I can put my Hallmark movies on when I don't want to really watch anything, but once I'm out. So. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think
that's all you need.
Yeah. I think we covered it. What, anything else?
Oh, yeah. I have some little things about this movie. Like, well, you know, some of this is going to like tie into the next movie, but like both of them to me have the same weird issue, which is they're always bringing up the question of, do you believe in Santa?
Right.
But like, you can see him. There he is. And like, he's in the papers often. And like, it's not like a question. It's not like, you know, it's not like the kids are like, I'm going to wait up and see if I can see him this time. It's like, no, there he is.
You literally have to believe in the guy standing in front of you.
Yeah, he's right in front of you, dude. Yeah. So I did have a question for you.
Okay.
Is the doctor that comes to see Santa, is he an elf?
I don't know. Yeah.
He was wearing elf shoes.
Yeah, he's probably an elf. Yeah.
I guess they figured if you can have a dentist elf, they just started. Yeah. By this
I
point.
I think the North Pole is self-sufficient, right?
It's the 70s, man. Everybody's loosening up. Elves just don't have to make toys anymore. You can do what you want.
Right, exactly. That was the 60s where you had to conform.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, still getting out of that hole. I did want to point out that the kid from Southtown has the best Southern accent I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Mr. Klaus. Hey,
is that Iggy? You're talking about Iggy, right?
Yeah, the kid. Yeah. Is that his name? Yeah, yeah.
I think it's Iggy, yeah.
He's got his New York accent.
Hey, you're dressed up like a couple of Christmas elves. Haven't you heard the news? Santa's taking a holiday.
Or whatever it is. Hey, Mr. Klaus, hey!
Hey,
hey, I got your jingle bells right here.
From South Jersey. Hey, from South Jersey. Exactly. That's South Town.
Hey, how do you like the part where all the kids from Small World appear?
Oh.
The Small World ride.
That's a lot of Rankin Bass stuff.
It feels like they just went to the Small World ride and just grabbed those dolls and animated those.
Right, right.
At the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, the final thing that I kind of wished in this movie that had happened is that they had just followed through with a year without a Santa Claus. And they're like, the kids would be like, we're going to give you a year off, Santa. They were kind of happy about it in a way,
right.
except for the one girl. They're like, you know, yeah, he deserves a year off. He's been doing this all these years. We're going to give it to him. And that would have been kind of cool. And then they could have called it, honestly, A Year Without a Santa Claus.
Right, right. Which is the title. It doesn't actually
happen. Just the title that doesn't actually happen. It was the year that was almost without a Santa Claus.
Doesn't work. The song doesn't. See, it would have got a lower rating on my song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. All right. Yeah, so I think that's a good segue into the next one, which, like you said, kind of the same idea. Exactly what you just summarized about how, like, maybe he just did need a year off, right? So the next one, this is Rusty's pick. This is
This is mine.
Twas the Night Before Christmas, and we're staying in 1974.
Yeah, and we don't go past 75 for this whole show.
That's right. We're stuck in the 70s.
We're stuck in the about the year I was born.
Wednesday, it's two best-loved holiday classics.
Good grief.
And good cheer. It's the Peanuts Gang's Christmas Spectacular. But what's Linus's secret of Yuletide spirit?
I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
A Charlie Brown Christmas. Then, 'twas the Night Before Christmas. Who can save St. Nick in the nick of time?
3 seconds to Christmas.
Wednesday.
I'll read the quick summary. When a town learns that Santa Claus has struck it off. Wait, what? Has struck it off? What?
Struck it off.
Oh, the town. When a town learns that Santa has struck it off his delivery schedule due to an insulting letter, a way must be found to change his mind. So yeah, so like he's canceled Christmas for that one town. Yeah.
And this one, we don't see Santa as much until the end of this one, but this one's arguably an even more vengeful, jealous, grumpy Santa. Because he's like, yeah, he gets one letter in the paper that from one kid. He signed it all of us. It was him and his other atheist mouse friends. but he takes it to be the whole town. And so he's like, well, forget those guys. Santa's like, if they don't, you know. You begin to wonder, like, what's Santa's deal? I know he had the naughty nice thing. That's fine.
Right.
But on this one, it's kind of like, all right.
Yeah. You can see him sitting there like, hey, look. Hey, they don't want me? All right.
Fine.
There's a lot of towns out there that want me.
Hey, I'm busy, you know, it's one less thing to do.
It's like posting on his Facebook, like, hey, I got a lot of towns out there that want me, guys.
That's right. There's plenty of other fish in that sea. And you didn't know where. Now this is the one for when it comes to the believing in Santa Claus question that you see in these movies all the time. This one makes no sense at all.
Right.
Okay, because Albert is a mouse who says, you know, whatever he says, you know, it's illogical, irrational, all that stuff. But again, the beginning, Santa's in the newspaper. You can apparently go out at night and see him flying in the sky.
Right.
Like there's just. It's not, you know, it's not like in real life where there's some, we're like, oh, you don't see him, but oh, yeah, maybe if you wait up, maybe, you know, but here it's like, no, there he is.
It's true. Plenty of eyewitnesses.
So why would the, you know, it's like the movie wants to have it both ways. They want to have that whole, who do you believe in Santa question? But there is no question. So yeah, it's just bizarre.
Right.
Yeah. And I thought it would have been hilarious at the end if, because at the end, you know, Santa finally hears the clock that they made for him and he flies down. I thought it would have been funny if the father mouse had said, well, Albert, do you believe in Santa now? And he'd be like, I'm still not sure, father.
Yeah, I mean, that would fit in line with
it. It would fit. It'd be like, well,
yeah.
I don't know.
So he's right there in front of you.
I saw some guy flying in the sky. I don't know who he is. Could be. Who could be anybody?
I do like that in this one. The adults write letters to Santa, too, because they all get their letters back. They're like, hey, wait a second. All of our letters got sent.
Yes. Yeah, everybody. Also, the mouse has the phone number to the North Pole. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like Albert, he's portrayed as the smart one, but he's the biggest idiot. It's like...
Yeah. Yeah, he's
Look,
not smart.
Your dad has the telephone number to the North Pole. Do you want to call it right now?
Just call.
Here.
No, he's like the know-it-all like in Polar Express. Like, yeah, like he's read a lot, right?
Right.
And he knows a lot of big words, but he's a kid. He hasn't experienced a lot. So yeah.
This is definitely like an anti-intelligence movie, though. Like, like the whole thing, like... You know, his dad's just constantly like the things he says to him. It's horrible. He's like, you don't know as much as you think because you only think with your head. So you have a lot of trouble believing in things you can't see or touch. It's like, but again, I'd like to point out you can see or touch him very easily.
Right, right.
You can call him right now and talk to his elves, whatever you want to do. You can see his mouse reindeer in the sky. Those mouse reindeer are the thing that get me every time.
I love it. I love the separate entities for the two species. So does every species have, you know, the version or?
Well, that presumably that's Santa, like for both mice and humans, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's a human Santa, but then a hybrid of mice and reindeer for the reindeer.
But so when the mice call the North Pole mouse and the mouse at the North Pole operator picks up, like that's not the people phone line, right?
Well, I'm assuming, no, it's not. But like, yeah, there's counterparts to everything. Kind of like the mouse mail carrier sits on the shoulder.
Yeah, he says, mouse. Right, he comes in with it. Right. So what about the cat and the dog mail carrier?
Right.
Do cats and dogs not get mail?
Right. We only see, well, I think in this universe, only humans and mice have this kind of intelligence.
Right. Okay.
But what we don't see, unless I missed it, we don't see like the Santa mouse sitting on the corner of the human Santa, do we?
No, I don't think so. I think
we just have one Santa.
I think so. Yeah.
But and then we have one reindeer, but they look like mice with antlers.
Yeah, interesting.
That's what's weird about it.
Now the Santa, so for being so vengeful,
yeah,
he looks very jolly. He's the jolliest looking Santa I've ever seen.
Weirdest, yeah.
It's a really bizarre depiction of Santa. Like, he doesn't even have a mustache.
No.
Like, I wonder if he's fake. I wonder if he's like an imposter breaking into people's houses. But it's the same year.
Doesn't believe it.
It's 1974. And they just gave us this other Santa in the same year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No consistency.
Yeah. This is the weird. This is the peak of that style where they had the teeth and just the weird designs. The mice look pretty normal, and and most of the humans, I guess. But yeah. Except for those teeth. But yeah.
Yeah,
Santa. They even use those teeth in the other movie that we just talked about. They stick them on there, you know.
Right.
For some of them, they're big into those teeth.
Yeah. So this is one. This is the only one of the three that we're talking about tonight that actually, you know, I grew up with, like watching every year. So this one's a classic to me. And again, like when that beginning came on, I don't think I'm used to that. Like. The feeling that I get in October, you know what I mean? Like it feels like a later feeling to me.
Yeah.
And even though I've been like listening to the songs we're talking about tonight and things like that when we record the other episodes, just kind of easing into Christmas a little bit because of the podcast and the spooky Midnight Syndicate music. Like I wasn't ready for that, you know? Like there's just something about that when the chimes start ringing or whatever. And it was definitely a feeling because of the nostalgia. It's also great. It's like the music again. This one, you know.
Yeah, this song is. These songs are really good, and it's one of the reasons. Like, I kind of a lot of me hates this special.
Oh yeah,
because it's so dumb. Like the I can deal with illogic in Christmas movies, but like this one just doesn't make sense. Like, just I don't want to just keep beating this dead mouse horse, but
dead mouse reindeer.
But the fact that the whole thing is premised on whether something exists or not to this mouse kid Albert, that you know, it's the it's like the X-Files, where you have Scully and Mulder, and Scully is the skeptic, which is great at first, but then when she sees the aliens over and over, and she's still going, I don't know, I think there's a rational explanation. I know this is obviously a universe where aliens exist. So just,
right.
So she's the dumb one after a while. Like, she's the non-scientist. Like, no, there's the alien that you saw. An alien, you saw a ghost. And like, yeah, that's what this feels like. It's like, what are you talking about? So, yeah.
Well, it's
almost
like being, to argue just to argue.
Yeah.
You know, like almost like, and again, kids do that. I mean, adults do it too. But trust me, kids do it, you know.
Yeah. But again, I mean, Albert, he's portrayed as all the things you would expect from a smart kid. The smart kid who wants to figure things out and all that. And so, yeah, I mean, this movie is anti that, you know, and the only way that he becomes the good guy is to kind of deny a big part of his true essence, basically. So it annoys me. But then, yeah, the Christmas chimes are ringing. Santa makes me go, oh, okay, fine. Kind of like it did Santa. I'm the grumpy guy, and then I hear the
and then you hear it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So for this one, so this was my number three. So of the 17 specials to rank, and I'll go through my rankings later, this was my number three, and it's only three songs. That's how good they are. I have, on my scale, I have Christmas Chimes Are Calling and Even a Miracle Needs a Hand, both at a five, and I have Give Your Heart a Try. I gave like a 4.5. Like, it's almost a five on my scale. And so, I mean, that. So just for the three songs, I mean... The average is higher than the last one, but it was only three songs. So I put it
only three. Yeah.
But I mean, so this is two back to back where, like, yeah, you know, the stories are what they are. They're running out. You only have so many ideas for these kinds of movies, right? A Christmas Comes After All kind of story.
Yeah.
But the music here, they were just killing it. So.
Yeah.
In 74, they had the music going.
Yeah. Yeah, they were good. This was probably the peak of Rankin Bass. I would have to look at their list, but this seemed to be where they hit it.
Yeah, right. And then Christmas Chimes Are Calling. All right, let's think about this. When he first brings in this model, right? And that's the first time you hear this song. So this guy's a clockmaker, but he wrote this song? Are you telling me this guy's making clocks and he's just like cranking out this one little jam that he's going to put in this clock? Stop making clocks and start writing songs? When they like, when he's like, they stop trusting him or whatever and they stop giving him their business, right? Instead of begging people to let him fix their clocks, he's just going to like, I don't know, 10 Pan Alley or Nashville or something.
He could be the new Boyce and Hart.
Write some songs. Yeah. What's he doing with his life?
Maybe there was a side plot where he got his musician friend to write this for him.
Maybe it's a song poem. Maybe he sent it in and they recorded it.
It's a little hidden classic.
If I could do like one song like Christmas Chimes Are Calling, I'd be set.
Oh, you've done the equivalent. I listened to There Will Be Snow yesterday for reasons I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good, man. That was good. Yeah. That's good stuff. That's better than Christmas Chimes.
And I was going to talk a little bit about us on the next episode because novelty song. Yeah, because we're good. Yeah.
We're up there, man.
So next episode, if you want to hear about novelty songs, tune in next week. But yeah, I mean, overall, lots of Christmas feels for me. Like, yeah, the story is what it is, but like, I just remember as a kid liking it. And so like,
yeah,
I like the Mouse universe and sort of how they intermingled and had sort of the same things.
Yeah, I like all that. I always like that stuff, like that Ben and Me Disney special, where it's like the Ben Franklin and the little Ben Franklin mouse.
Oh, yeah,
that's all.
Totally.
Yeah, it reminds me of that kind of thing. Yeah. Now, did this one air on television a lot when you were a kid? Because I always remember like, I saw it a lot or for a lot of years, and then it seemed like it just disappeared.
See, I guess like, but I guess by the time I got to say like high school, I think we were just using the tape we had. And just, okay. So that's why like,
okay.
I really know those specials really well from that tape. And then others like I totally missed because I don't know, for whatever reason, like we weren't tuning in for primetime viewing. We were just kind of relying on the ones we had taped.
I think by the mid 80s, this one wasn't really airing that much. I could be wrong, but like, I remember this being one that I always kind of was like, when are they going to show this one again? Because, we didn't tape anything or, you know, didn't get a VCR till later or whatever. So,
right.
Yeah. So. I have one question that you probably won't even remember this scene.
Probably not.
Remember where they were all voting on the clock?
Right.
And then the guys, I think it's the mayor or whoever it is. He says, all right. And he says, and don't you dare say no, McDevitt.
Like, no, I don't know.
Like, what's McDevitt's deal? See, the guy who always says no.
Yeah. No, I remember. Yeah, it's when they're all sitting around the table.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're going to vote on. At first, it was a really weird scene because at first, you think he's just going to reject this guy. And he's like, don't let him in.
Because he's got a grumpy personality.
Yeah, he's like, don't let him in. This is a public space. So, but then he comes in and then he's immediately just won over by this clock idea.
Yeah.
Probably because the song's amazing.
The song.
And it was. He went into like this trance when he heard the song.
Yeah.
And then, he's like, we're going to vote on this. And he's like, don't you dare say no.
McDevitt.
Yeah, he's always just like shooting everything down. He's a party pooper.
But I don't think there's any other mention of McDevitt. It was just like a little bonus joke they threw in that.
It was probably the writer's like neighbor. Really the writer's neighbor probably like always like parks on his lawn or something. He's like,
right. McDevitt.
Put his name in here.
Yeah.
I did also notice in that scene when the guy, I forget the main character's name, when he's pitching his clock idea, the guy sitting facing him right at his like waist, like right at the table next to him, basically is him with glasses. It's like, so he's talking to this guy who's drawn who looks just like him, but like a little bit different haircut, but it's still the same color, and then like glasses.
So,
it's like the same character. So... Anything else here?
Albert. I guess I see myself in Albert.
In Albert, yeah.
Yeah, and I wish that he had been given a better shake. He has this great line where he's like, "So does that mean you believe now?" And he goes, "I don't know."
That's right.
That delivery is really good. I think.
And he fixes the clock.
He's nice. Yeah, he's a nice kid. Yeah.
So, Christmas came after all.
Christmas came after. So now I'm excited to hear about. Let's hear Kitty Cat. I've been here.
All right. So we're moving on to something fun. So,
all right. We'll take a little break and do something fun. Cool.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Something fun. This has been in the works for a year. After we finished recording last year, my daughter and I, or my whole family, I guess, we watched Christmas Chronicles 2, and it's actually a pretty cool movie. Christmas Chronicles 1 was all right. I don't remember. It's probably like a 6 or a 7. And this one, I probably like a 7 or 8. Like, this one was better.
Wow.
And it has Darlene Love in this amazing, like, airport scene where she cranks out this jam, you know? So,
yeah.
So just for that alone, I'm probably going to give an extra point. But also, we're introduced to characters as Yule Cat. Now, in the movie, it's slightly different. The cat's running around and, you know, is sort of a villainous creature. But my daughter, loving Castaway, she does, like, no cat could ever really be a villain. Like, she will think every cat is cute, right? So, like,
yeah,
she,
yeah.
Like, we fall in love with this Yule Cat. And I'm like, what is this? What is this cat character? And we're watching the movie and we're Googling it. And we find out it's a thing. And then I think I messaged you. I was like, hey, next year, you know, something fun. I got to talk about this Yule Cat. You're going to love it.
Yes.
And I think, like, on St. Patrick's Day or Leon Day, I was like, did we talk about the Yule Cat? And you're like, yeah, yeah, we did. And because I got the I got our friend Nick to draw us a Yule Cat for Snow in Southtown, mm-hmm. and we have stickers, and I'm drinking right now out of my coffee mug with the Snow in Southtown Yule Cat. And he says hungry, and he has the candle on his head. It's amazing, and Nick did a great job, and we love the Yule Cat. But then we didn't. We never did talk about it on the show because I watched that after we recorded. So something fun I'm going to tell you quickly about the Icelandic Yule Cat. So, okay. So in some stories, this cat, so he's depicted with like a candle on his head. There's not a whole lot out there. It seems like over the last few years, maybe some things have come out on Amazon. There's a couple little picture books. I don't know how great they would be. I was looking for like a plush to get my daughter, and nothing was going to come nearly in time for Christmas because like they're just not mass marketed yet. You know, I'm sure in the next 5 years, it'll probably be something. But I'm gonna try and get her one this year. But again, it's nothing. It's just like you can't just walk into Walmart and get a plush Yule Cat, you know. But so in some stories, he eats anyone who doesn't get new clothes for Christmas. So that's sort of the darker tale, right? And it's thought that farmers would tell this story to the workers to get them to like produce wool, or maybe like factory workers to get their workers to produce more clothing, because like if you don't get this wool made or this clothing made, then kids are going to get eaten because they won't have new clothes for Christmas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in the other simpler stories, it's like he comes to your house, and if you don't wear your clothes that your parents got you for Christmas, he eats your Christmas food or your snacks that you got in your stocking.
And if you don't appreciate that you got new clothes because
exactly. That's
not as exciting as toys, right?
Right, that's the whole thing, right. And so different stories. Some of it, if you didn't get it still, but most of what we were reading was like, if you don't wear your clothes or don't appreciate your clothes,
your cat's going to get you.
He's going to eat your snacks. He's going to,
Yes.
So our Yule Cat, that's on our coffee mug right here, he looks spooky, but like I think he just wants your like little Debbie like Christmas tree that you got, you know, or your brownie, yeah. But he's just a big fluffy cat. He can be intimidating, but he's a fluffy cat, so we love him. And it's really cool. If you want to explore more, there are other tales that go with it, such as the Yule Lads, who are like these 13 kids that play pranks, and they come to town one at a time, come to town the 13 nights before Christmas, and they leave small toys in your shoes if you're good, but they'll leave you potatoes in your shoes if you're bad. Stuff like that. So, yeah, really cool stuff to read into, and I'm going to do some more exploring this holiday season and check it out. Yeah, so we have stickers. If you want a sticker, let us know. I've got a few of those left, and I can have some more made. And then we have like a Zazzle where we have a few things up there, and I have it set to where we don't make any money. You just basically pay the cost. So if you want a Snow in Southtown Christmas mug with a Yule Cat or our Krampus, you can get that. And I also have playing cards that I got for my son. I showed you that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So just because it's cool. So
yeah, they're pretty awesome.
He was happy. So so that's my Yule Cat. That's my something cool. You should check it out. I love it.
It's the new Krampus.
Yeah, exactly. He's friendly. He's a friendly cat. He just wants some snacks. All right. So our last Rankin Bass film that we're going to talk about today. Yeah, we're going all the way to 1975 now.
Yeah.
And this is the one I picked. I only picked this one because it's the one of the remaining few that I really hadn't sat down to watch.
I'd never seen this one.
Yeah, I put it on last year. I had that jump drive where I had all the Rankin Bass movies. And so we let the whole thing play. And so it came on and I'd catch it, but I never sat down and watched it. The story is a young shepherd, Lucas, is blinded by lightning, and some kindly nuns at a nearby abbey take him in. Sister Catherine describes snow to Lucas, who has never seen it. Lucas gets chosen to play an angel in the abbey's Christmas pageant, and the Christmas snow that falls during the pageant works a small miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's it. You got Angela Lansbury as one of the nuns in this one. So that's your guest appearance, star.
Yep. Famous person.
And just, you know, to touch on the music again here, I mean, I have this one at number 7. So, I mean, we're still, all three of these were my top half. You know, I had number 2, number 3, and then this one. I still had number 7. And that's not even including, I didn't include in my rankings songs that existed before the special. Right. Or songs that were known, I should say, because there were a couple clarifications. But so, like, White Christmas didn't count, even though White Christmas is one of the best songs ever, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even count them either. So,
and the other one had Blue Christmas,
Yeah, was that in this one?
That was in
Blue Christmas in the other one. So in this one I had, again, only 3 songs that I counted. So I had Save a Little Christmas and the first White Christmas at 4s, and I had Christmas Snow is Magic at a 3. So, like, no bad ones, you know.
What's funny about that Save a Little Christmas song is it's the opposite of We Need a Little Christmas, which was sung by Angela Lansbury, right, in that musical?
Was it Angela Lansbury? Or was it Judy Garland? I don't know.
I thought that Angela Lansbury played Mamie. Wasn't that what
it was? Yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
And so it's like, this is the opposite song. Like, no, Save a Little Christmas.
Right, yeah. No, and I like the idea of Save a Little Christmas. It's like, Save a Little Christmas for Christmas.
For Christmas, right.
And it's kind of...
We do that.
Right, and we do make an effort. It's kind of what I talked to you about with Halloween this year, why I did the movie marathon.
Yeah.
Because it was like August, they were putting out the monster cereal stuff. And I was like, I got to go get this stuff because it's not going to be hanging around. And so in August, I was getting the Monster Mash. I got the Monster Mash gummies and, you know, all the cereals and all. And just like they were putting out candy. And so, you know, I was like, I'm going to do this marathon to make sure that, like, I keep, you know, having things that I'm going to do every weekend to celebrate the spooky season, you know? So,
right.
And that's why I like that idea, like Save a Little Christmas for Christmas. And yeah, I think we do that. It's sort of what I talked about, like, no Charlie Brown in November.
Don't watch Charlie Brown right off.
So yeah, I do like that idea. I think
it's funny though that in the movie they're just they start like boxing it back up. It's like, okay.
That's what people,
like,
do.
They're putting their stuff out, and he's like, no, I don't just mean save it. No, put that away. You bring it out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Now, Father Thomas, he's kind of a jerk. Like, I know
he's
priests.
He's meant to be, I think.
Yeah, and I know priests, you know, and I know some priests are jerks. I get it. But, like, this guy, he's like, he's a priest. He's like, why is this kid in my bed? Where are his parents? There's a blind shepherd with no parents? Like,
yeah, right.
Just the biggest jerk. But yeah, that's his role, right?
Yeah,
and
then,
but then also, it takes on this, like, Rudolph story. Where it's basically the same thing where all the kids are really mean, like Rudolph, and then the one girl, Luisa, I think, comes and, like, she's his friend.
She's the
Clarice.
Clarice.
Yeah.
Say
right, exactly. And so she, it continues that Rudolph story where, you know, the blind shepherd boy is going to save the day.
Right.
And right, she's the Clarice who kind of, like, befriends him. Yeah. So it's very similar. But, like, the thing is like, we're used to, all right, like, a bunch of reindeer, fine, like, hey, you guys are jerks, you know, you're gonna have to come around the end. Even Santa, you're kind of a jerk, you know, you're gonna have to come around in the end. But
the
priest
was the Santa. Yeah.
Like, a priest is, like, out here at this with these nuns and these, like, kids, and it's like the biggest jerk at first. Yeah.
I'm more surprised by Santa, to be honest. I expected more from Santa in the Rudolph things, like, oh man, he's horrible.
Yeah, he's not the best. Yeah. Now I'll say that when we got to Christmas Eve, this is the first one I watched of the three, you know, to get ready. So this is really the first Christmas thing I watched this year. When we get to Christmas Eve and, like, the last 5 minutes, man, it feels pretty Christmassy. Like, and this is a short one. It's a half hour one. So, like, 24 minutes. And that last 5 minutes. Yeah. It's like, maybe because it was October and I wasn't ready for it, you know, but, like, it hit me. Or maybe it's because they rip off Linus completely and they do Linus's whole thing.
I know. I think they even like articulate it the same way. And
the same way. Yes. Yeah.
There are many ways to read that. Yeah. They just played Linus. They're like, look, we want to go for that good old Peanuts magic here.
Well, do you know how? Go ahead.
I was just like, just read it just like that kid did.
Just like that, right. Yeah. But do you know how hard it is? Because for me, like, so this week, I'll do the Raven with my kids. And do you know how hard it is to not read it like James Earl Jones or Homer, even Homer's, like, dialogue?
Oh, I know. Eat my
shorts. It's hard.
It's hard not to say eat my shorts.
Well, yeah. Or like the Grinch. Like if you're reading the Grinch to your daughter or whatever.
Oh,
like,
I know. Yeah.
It's hard.
A trick, a Dr. Seuss trick that I do, and used to, well, we used to read Dr. Seuss more when she was smaller, but like,
sure. Yeah.
I would always try to read it not as a rhyme, like to read them as sentences without going the da-da, you know. It's really hard. That's really hard to do too, to try to like read it.
But I don't know. To me, that's like listening to a Beatles stereo mix with one headphone. Like it kind of defeats the purpose.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, I hate it.
Oh, really?
I hate it. I also hate, for podcasters out there, and I'm just one person, I hate podcasts that are mixed in stereo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do not like it.
Huh, I don't know.
Because so often I listen to podcasts with one headphone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they don't account for freaks like you.
No, but I've talked to other friends, and a lot of people only listen with one ear. Because like either I'm like laying down like and I'm laying on a pillow with one ear, or I'm sort of like in the room with my family and they might need to like talk to me. You know, so like I just have like this prank call show on or whatever in my ear. And so you know, like there's a lot of times where I'm just like in the company of others, we may not be conversing and I'm listening to a podcast. And so,
yeah,
it's kind of weird when they have like one guy mixed in this ear and the other in that ear. I don't know.
You know who's talking. If you like learn, you know, this guy's on the left field, this guy's on the
left. Right.
Yeah.
We'd get every now and then, you know, when we did the horror podcast, we get tons of screeners sent to us from indie filmmakers, you know. Yeah. And every now and then we'd get an indie film that was mixed completely in stereo. And it was so annoying. Like, hey, I wonder why Steven Spielberg never tried this out before. This is great. I'm going to pan this person all the way left.
All the way.
All the way. Yeah. Like, what, is he in the shed and you're next door? What's going on?
I think it's the same reason that, you know, people like the Beatles did it. It's like this new thing or like, look, we're going to, you know. And so for like, for new, you know, for indie filmmakers, to them, it feels like, well, we're going to use this tool also.
Yeah. So.
I mean, you know, you should listen to some of my records. They do a little bit of that.
No, and look, in music, yeah. No, it's fine. But like, I think maybe my problem is with Beatles. I heard the mono first. So that's probably my thing with Beatles.
I see. I
think I just got so used to it and it sounds so different. And then like Beach Boys, you know, Brian Wilson mixed so much of mono because he lost so much hearing in one ear. And so I don't know. I just got so used to it. I don't think in the 90s I was listening to a lot of stuff mixed in like clearly in stereo, you know, somewhat, but not clearly. And then when I heard those Beatles stereo mixes, I never got into them.
I told you those Chipmunks were really famous for.
That was when
I like learned about stereo because my parents' stereo, the speakers were really far apart, and I was fascinated by that idea of like elephants over here. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I remember that. You're right. I remember that.
Those Beatles are pretty like you just hear like whoa whoa whoa, ding.
Yep.
Yep.
So, those are all the notes I had for the first Christmas.
Yeah, I want to say, you know, for seeing it the first time, I'm sure if I watched it two or three, I would find my usual rusty problems. But I liked, it had a simplicity to it that some of the others don't have. And I like that, that it was like, yeah, a kid went blind and he wanted to like feel snow. It happened. It brought back his sight. And that's. You know, there were a few little things here and there, but it wasn't like there wasn't this convoluted thing where you had to like do something. Like things would have been okay even if he had stayed blind at the end, you know.
That's true. No, exactly. And in fact, I don't know for sure. I mean, you kind of knew it would, right? But like I wouldn't have been 100% surprised if it was like kind of ended with this hope, right? Because you said, you could still end the story with a happy ending if you wasn't. So,
yeah.
So you're right about that.
And yeah, I thought Louisa was sweet, and Waggles the dog.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I think I liked it.
I do. Yeah, I think I liked it too. I guess to me, a lot of times it comes down to the length. And I'm guessing no Rankin Bass movie. I don't guess they ever had a meeting where they're like, look, guys, we need a full hour for this story. I'm guessing it was like Dolly Madison or whoever came in are like, guys, can you give us an hour on this one? You know, we want an hour. We're going to pay you for an hour. So like then they had to go and like, hey, let's add the Island of Misfit Toys. And we got to stretch this out to an hour. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing with the Heat Miser one. because that was an hour long.
Of course.
And so if it had been a half hour special, it might have been a more tight plot.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can sit through almost anything for 24 minutes, you know, especially if the music's good.
Yeah. Well, I watched, you know, I watched, what's it even called? The Santa Claus one, The Year Without a Santa Claus. I watched that one first.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh my God, this hour. And then, so when I saw that the other two were half an hour, I was happy about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, you know, you said you got the Christmas feelings that I normally do get for that song and stuff. But when I watched this before Halloween, I felt like an emotionless, I was just flat.
Really?
Just watching it for the podcast, purely.
Oh, man.
Like, that was it. And which is actually fine, though, because, you know, I want to save a little Christmas for Christmas.
And I think you can truly give your true feelings because you're not like, there's no nostalgia feelings. Right. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, there was nothing. And at the very end of the year that Sam skipped Christmas, I laughed once out loud. I can't even remember what the joke was, but it made me laugh. But most of the time I just sat there just blank, just watching it, typing a note here and there. It was awful.
Well, okay. So any other notes that you want to share?
Oh, I did want to ask about the premise, which is what Angela Lansbury says. She says, or whoever says it, says one of the nuns, I had almost forgotten that on the first Christmas there was a snowfall. What is she talking about? In Bethlehem?
That's what she's talking about.
And is this something that is known or alleged?
I've never heard it. I've never heard it. No.
That there will be snow.
I'm gonna ask.
In Bethlehem.
I work with a nun now, like really close. Okay. Yeah, she's awesome. I'm gonna ask. I even meant to ask if she had ever seen this.
Yeah.
But now that I really should ask her that. Yeah. I'm gonna ask.
How does she feel about the nuns?
Yeah, in a couple weeks. I'll let you guys know. Yeah, snowfall. She said, "Did you know?" She's just created a new mythology. I don't know. What's she doing?
Yeah, but she says it like it's a fact that like the viewers would be like, oh, yeah. The first when it snowed on the nativity.
Like, how many people you think went to work in school the next day and were like, hey, did you know it snowed?
She knows it's snowing here in the Middle East this time. And you know, I don't know. I guess I didn't know if that was like something that had been said or something they just made up for this
thing. Or even worse, how many teachers have stated it as fact because they learned it from Angela Lansbury?
That's right. They learned it as a kid when they were five, and then they Angela Lansbury said it.
Right.
You know her as Mrs. Potts now, kids. But when I was a kid, yeah.
Do you want me to do we got your Something Weird. Do you want me to do the music from Rankin Bass first and just close that out? Or do you want to do your Something Weird and then end with that?
Yeah, go ahead and do the music.
Okay, so, you know, I'm not going to spend a ton of time. Let me go to that document. So I didn't count anything I didn't count any songs that were already known Christmas carols before the special, okay? And so that really only affects one. But so Frosty and Frosty's Winter Wonderland were out because they did not have any original music, okay? So that leaves 17 to rank, and I'll go through them. The last one, 17, Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey.
Yeah.
He's last.
Nestor was a donkey.
All right. Well, Nestor was already a song by Gene Autry.
Okay.
And then there's two other songs, and neither of them are good. Little Drummer Boy, Book 2. You got Pinocchio's Christmas. And all of these have, like, songs that are just ones for me. Like, number 14 is Cricket on the Hearth. There's a song, Fish and Chips, that I just hated. That's a one.
Don't even remember. I've seen that once.
Now, the weird one is number 13, and you really should just read it in the zine or on the blog. It's Santa Baby.
Yeah,
and it's 16 years after the previous one, which I've always thought was the last one, The Life and Times of Santa Claus from like 1985, I think. So this is like 16 years later, Santa Baby, 2001. Man, I mean, you got, of course, Eartha Kitt is in it, right? Her voice. You got Gregory Hines, but then also you got podcast favorite Patti LaBelle is involved here.
Yeah,
and all that sounds awesome, but it's just one of these things. It's trying to be totally modern, which in 2001 it probably still wasn't. But now, 20 years later, it's just a really bad like attempt at something. So it's just not good. And I think it's an hour. I might be wrong, but I think it was an hour. So that was not good. Number 12, I got Jack Frost. 11, Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July. And we've covered some of these. Yeah, because that's one we covered. 10, so top 10 now. 10, Rudolph's Shiny New Year. 9, The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus. And that one does not have a ton of, like, songs. I think there's maybe just one. But the score, like, the background score is amazing.
Okay.
And so that one sort of boosted that. 8, I have Leprechaun's Christmas Gold, which we covered.
Yeah.
And those songs were cool. They were fun. 7, we talked about just now, Story of First Christmas. Or, I'm sorry, The First Christmas, The Story of the First Christmas Snow is the name of it. 6, Little Drummer Boy. 5, so our top 5 now. All right, so this is where it got tough. Stingiest Man in Town, every song was already done because it was a musical. However, they weren't like Christmas carols. Like, you never heard them on the radio.
Right.
And so, I mean, honestly, if they had never been written before, this is probably a top 3, right? But yeah. I had to kind of give the others a little bit of a push because this was already a full musical that was handed to them.
Yeah, they just took it. Yeah.
4, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Mainly on the strength of Put One Foot in Front of the Other, which is just top track. And the others are pretty good too. Then, of course, 3, I said, Twas the Night Before Christmas. 2, we talked about Year Without a Santa Claus. 1, not hard to figure out, is Rudolph. Every song is a smash hit, except for maybe Fame and Fortune, which doesn't count to me.
Yeah, because that was done later and put in later for certain ones, and sometimes you don't even see it.
Exactly. You don't even need it.
So when you counted, you didn't count Rudolph, I guess, then.
No,
was a Gene Autry song. Okay.
No, but I mean, every song's a 5. I mean, except for Fame and Fortune. Like, every song is 3. Yeah.
And even Fame and Fortune is good.
It's good. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's just a 4 instead of a 5, I guess.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. Like, you know, when I was doing it, I guess I knew Rudolph would be my 1. I guess I didn't realize, like, how clear cut that was going to be. That, like, some are good. You know, You're That Santa Claus, Twas the Night Before Christmas. They're good, but, like, Rudolph's just right away, they just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Never recaptured that magic.
Was Twas the Night Before Christmas in that list? Did I miss it?
So I had a 3. Yeah.
3. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's right. That's what you said. Okay.
Yeah. And then Year Without a Santa Claus, 2. So
there you go.
We just covered 2 of my top 3. And again, remember, Year Without a Santa Claus was the poll winner tonight. So we did not pick that one. You know, you guys could have picked. You could have picked. No, you couldn't pick Santa Baby because I ain't watching Santa Baby.
I guess next year we'll have to do a theme called Crappy Bass where we just watch the rest of them that we haven't done, like Little Drummer Boy 2 and Santa Baby.
And the thing is like, I was ranking the music and I had that one, Santa Baby, where I put it 13. I mean, to me, my own personal taste, I'd probably have it last.
Yeah.
Because I just don't like any of this like techno sort of. I talked about this when we were on Jerry's show. With some of the music in that Claymation Christmas.
Yeah.
When they do like this techno, like Motown kind of influence, I don't know what it's supposed to be. I don't know.
Oh, it's like,
it's fake. It just sounds fake.
When they
it sounds
do like
synthesized stuff.
Yeah. Like an 80s version of Motown where they use synthesizers and try to make
and
it
so
more
this was,
modern.
And this was a 2001 version of that, right? It's like they tried to.
So, yeah, something. That's even worse because, you still get some of that 90s Poochie the Dog stuff.
Of course.
Yeah.
And there's a techno, and this doesn't even go into the ranking because it's Santa Baby, which is already a song. There's a techno version of Santa Baby.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
Actually, you know, like Santa Baby, that?
Something
like
that.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I need to watch it anyway.
I mean, good luck. If you could get through an hour, I could not do it. So I just got to where I just skipped through to the songs.
Yeah.
So to rate the song. I could not watch it. I thought I could. I wanted to, but you know, it was like a long lost, you know, movie that we didn't know existed. And I couldn't do it.
So
there we go. So again, that's all I you can read about in the zine or on the blog. If you want a zine, the zines are free. We're doing 50 and I just sent out 30. So we got about 20 left.
Still got some left.
Let me know when you get yours, by the way, Rusty.
Okay. All right.
It should be. I'm hoping it might be tomorrow, but I'm hoping Monday. So if everybody gets on November 1st, that'll be awesome. That's the goal. So
cool.
Dropped them in the mail last night. So we're about to wrap up. We're going to Rusty's Something Weird.
Something Weird.
All right. For Something Weird. I don't know if we talked about this last year or not, but some of the figures from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the stop animation special, were sold at auction.
Yeah, I saw something.
You remember
that?
Yeah. So it was last year. It was last November, November 2020. So I wanted to see if you could guess how much they went for.
Okay. Do you know which ones exactly, or were they all of them?
It was Santa and Rudolph. And, you know, they had a few figures they used for the movies, but these were two that they had. They were in really good condition.
Didn't they say someone found them, like, in a dumpster or something?
I don't think so. Well, that may have been another story. This guy had them for years, okay. And, you know, he wasn't going to sell them. Then he said something like, but then I decided, you know, put my, you know, grandkids through college or something. So I decided to.
Yeah. Next episode, I have some funny stories about that. Actually, for my something weird. So, yeah. Okay. So these are a Rudolph and a Santa.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with the number that, like, I'm going to kind of talk about where you get to something that's worth selling. Between 10 and 20. So maybe 15,000.
15,000. Okay.
My way off.
You're off. Let me give you. I'll give you a hint. So they were expected, like the kind of guess of what they would go for was between 150 and 200,000. That was the way it was expected to go for. Yeah.
What?
So, but guess what they actually went for?
I don't know. I guess 300. I don't know what.
Yeah, 368.
Jeez.
368,000.
Now, again, you know, I've mentioned him a couple of times now because he's in the Xena stuff. Jerry from Totally Rad, he's like a Rankin Bass kind of expert.
Okay.
And so I know he's, you know, he's shared a lot of this stuff and he's researched a lot of this. And he's friends with the guy, I think, what's his name, Rick Goldschmidt, maybe? He wrote like some books. And so anyway, so I know Jerry's talked a lot about this. And he definitely probably is yelling right now if he's listening. He knew the exact figure.
Oh, I know the answer.
Yeah. So, oh, wow. I can't believe that. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
if you had asked me, I would have probably guessed maybe 40,000 to 50,000, something like that. But
that's gonna make my story even funnier. tune in next week, guys, my something weird, because I'm blown away right now. Like the figures I'm gonna talk about for my something weird are nothing like that.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and you know we don't know who bought it; they're anonymous. But these were, I guess I never really knew like how big they were and stuff, but the Rudolph was 6 inches. The Santa was 11 inches tall.
Wow. Yeah.
And Rudolph's nose still works. It's still
good. Wow.
So it was in very good condition. So, you know.
That's amazing.
But I don't know if it was in $368,000 good condition.
Is that for the pair? You got both of them for that one?
For the pair, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, what do you do with that?
Yeah, I mean, you put them on, maybe put them in a glass box somewhere. I don't know. I'm just some rich weirdo, you know.
Right. Something weird.
Something weird.
Something very weird. Okay, yeah, no, good. Hey, look, we did it. Short and sweet. We did 3 Rankin Bass shows.
I can't
believe
we did.
3 Rankin Bass episodes pretty quickly. So, okay. So, is that it? We're wrapping up, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in. This is awesome. We're back. It's Christmas. It's now at least November 1st, if you're, you know, whenever you're hearing this. Don't forget, let me pull that up. I don't want to get the right hashtag. What was our hashtag? Hashtag, Christmas Podcast Day? What was it? Yes, hashtag Christmas Podcast Day. Look for that if you're hearing this on November 1st and go check on all of those podcasts. We're going to have a new show. We're going to do 8 episodes. And so our next theme that you're going to hear, we just mentioned earlier, is novelty, comedy and novelty songs. So tune in next week and you'll hear that. Again, we'll have a different theme every show. We're doing 8 episodes, so tune in for episode 2. So anything else?
Just want to say to all the fans of Father Goose out there, is that his name, Father Goose?
Wait, what was that from?
No, old Gray Goose.
Old Gray Goose.
And all the fans of the Old Gray Goose, that I hope you had a good harvest.
And you sang pumpkin carols like Oscar the Lightheaded Pumpkin.
That's right.
All right, guys, see you next week. Thanks for listening.
It's gonna snow, snow.
It's gonna snow, ho, ho, right here in Dixie. All will be white overnight, it will be cold. On Christmas Day, hey, hey, right here in Dixie. We'll do-si-do in the snow, so I've been told.
We'll build a snowman.
Snow, ho, ho, right here in Dixie. All will be white overnight. It will be cold.
It will be cold on Christmas Day. Hey, hey, right here in Dixie.
We'll do-si-do in the snow. So
miracles happen most every day to people like you and me. But don't expect a miracle unless you help make it to be. So you hope and I'll hurry, you pray and I'll plan, we'll do what's necessary, 'cause even a miracle needs a hand. You love and I'll labor, you sit and I'll stand, get help from our next door neighbor, 'cause even a miracle needs a hand. We'll help our maker to make our dreams come true, but I can't do it alone, so here's what we're gonna do. You hope,
we hope,
and I'll hurry,
da, 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 da.
You pray,
we pray,
and I'll plan,
da, 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 da.
We'll do what's necessary, 'cause even a miracle needs a hand.
We'll help our maker to make our dreams come true, but we can't do it alone, so what are we gonna do?
You wish,
we wish,
and I'll whittle,
da, da, da.
You drip while I try,
da, da, da.
Let's all try to help a little, 'cause even a miracle needs a hand.
No chimes, no song, no Santa.
Santa Claus. Do you, Dad?
Why, yes. Matter of fact, I do.
How about you?
Me? Why, of course I do. I believe in Santa Claus like I believe in love. I believe in Santa Claus. Everything he does, there's no question in my mind that he does exist. Just like love, I know he's there, waiting to be missed. I believe in Santa Claus, but there was a time someone stood beside my bed with a beard of wine. So you're too old for Santa Claus, he said with a smile. Then you're too old for all the things that make a life worthwhile. For what is happiness but dreams, and do they all come true? Look at me and tell me, son, what is real to you? Just believe it's that.
Yes, if you're not too old to still believe, well, I guess maybe...